I'm going to start my message just with a few questions, three questions, and then we're going to move on from there. First question is, in your day, what do you spend the most time thinking about? Think about this. What do you spend the most time thinking about in your day? Secondly, in your day, who do you tend to talk to the most? And thirdly, with that person that you spend the most time talking to in the day, what do you most talk about? And this might help your answer, but I'm going to be playing a little chorus of a song. Many of you will probably know it's an old country tune. Actually, I think there's probably still 8 tracks of it out there. And if Bill Edlin is here today, he might have even sang it on one of his 8 tracks back when he had a mullet. And you might even be able to find that in the pawn shops in town. I recommend you pick it up, because I think it'll be one day worth a lot of money on eBay. So if you are an eBay seller, you want to pick up this song. Just give it a little listen here, if you would.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in here.
Yeah. Does anybody have that as their theme song? Who's never heard that song before? Okay. Yes. Well, that's what they used to call country music. When there wasn't a lot of selection, there was pretty well that song and maybe a couple other songs out there. That's also what you called an old song. And who's heard that song before? Who's familiar with that? Well, congratulations on being old. And that's what we call an old song and a stupid song. Probably one of those bar drinking songs. You might have danced to it at some country dances. In your day, who do you spend the most time thinking about? It's you. In your day, who do you talk to the most? You spend the most time talking to yourself. And when you're talking to yourself, the conversations that you have with yourself are typically all about yourself. And so, we're going to talk about humility. And because we spend a lot of time with ourselves, really we spend all our time with ourselves, there's a real danger in that. And Paul shares that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." It says, have nothing to do with them. And this set of verses, you could probably sum this up with one word, and that word could be pride. And especially this week, I've been on quite a journey with this. And I've discovered that, wow, there are a lot of prideful people out there. And not just out there, but even within here and within the church, and probably wherever you are, you can find pride in your own life. And I'm discovering that I am so prideful myself, and definitely needing to find a place of humility in my life. And so hopefully today we can just kind of explore this a little bit more, pride and humility, and hopefully come to a place where we get off our high horses, if we're on them, and be humbled and discover what that is. And so it's very easy to look and kind of listen to some of these illustrations and things. And if I wanted to, I could probably think about everybody else who needs to hear this message. But me, I can think of a lot of people who are prideful and conceited and full of themselves. But we need to just kind of take that finger and point it right back at us and say, okay, God, where do I fit right now with this? There's a little quote. There's a wise old dead guy. Before he died, he was wise. And he said this. His name is John Selden, and he's from a long, long time ago, before even I was born, in the 1600s. He said, humility is a virtue all preach, none practice, and yet everybody is content to hear. The master thinks it's good doctrine for his servant, the laity for the clergy, and the clergy for the laity. Let's just pray. God, we don't have to look far to find pride and to find sin. And God, pray that, Lord, today you'd help us to discover where that might still lie in our hearts and in our lives. And God, bring us to a place of true humility, a place that, God, I think many of us long to be. But God, this pride, this stuff gets in the way of what we really want, and that's you. And so God, help us in that this morning, to look at our hearts, to look at our lives, and to be raw and honest with who we are. And God, take us on this journey. And God, I pray that it be a journey that causes us to be lower and to be lower and to be humbled. And God, so that you'd be lifted up, that you'd receive the glory and not us. So help us this morning, Lord. Amen. So let's take a look at these two words, pride and humility, and better kind of parallel the two. Pride says this: I'll be God and you'll be the servant. And we point that towards God. And it's a very twisted thought that we are God and he should maybe take the back seat. And we maybe don't consciously say that. We don't probably tell him that it's my turn to be God for the day. But in our actions and the way we express ourselves to God and to others in our relationships, we often do play that out. Pride says that I'm number one, and what I want and need comes first above everybody else and everything else. And every time that we succeed in getting that, we do a very good job of just patting ourselves on the back and saying, see, God, I can do a better job than you can. And what a warped perspective it is that we think we have what it takes to play God and be God. And it's kind of like when you're a kid, and I remember every fall, I think it was, the fire department would give the opportunity to be firefighter or fire chief for a day. And unfortunately, I never got that dream. If any firefighters are out there, that's just a hint. But that opportunity would come up, and one kid would get the opportunity to be fire chief for a day. And it's an exciting opportunity. But really, what do you know about putting out fires or anything like that? And sometimes I think that's kind of like us with God. And maybe we feel like, yeah, we have what it takes to live our life, to make it the way we think is right. We think that we can be the chief. But are we fooling ourselves? Especially since we don't know anything about what it is to be him or play his role. Pride is any time we refuse to trust God and humble ourselves before him. And it's a real root, and it's the real essence of sin itself. And pride was really what Satan was all about, and that's what brought his undoing. He said, I want to be equal with God. I want to have that same place. And still today, Satan does a really good job of keeping us and encouraging us to have that same mindset that we can be equal with God. Pride says, God is holding out on me, that there's good things that God has for me that he's not giving me. And if I'm going to get those things that I need and those things that I need for life, I'm going to have to do it myself. And so God, excuse me, it's up to me now. And pride, we've been watching a video, that Dream to Destiny video, and they've talked a bit on that, and it said, pride is really insecurity, just a uncomfortableness, a insecurity. And so we just take matters into our own hands. Pride, as the Bible says, always comes just before destruction. Pride comes before the fall, an arrogant spirit before destruction. And pride clearly does separate us from what God has for us. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So are you prideful this morning? The sinful disease of pride may be so wrapped up within us that we may not even be aware just how prevalent it is. And I think even in my own life, even though this week I've just been like, what is this pride thing all about? I'm feeling it. I don't think that I really understand how deep it goes and how much pride rules my heart and my life. And I appreciate the songs this morning. They're again just reminding me of my place is to be humble. So how do you know if you're full of pride? Well, there's probably many ways. For starters, if you're asking that question, maybe you should really examine that. But just a few thoughts are that might help you in discovering where pride is in your life. Do you desire to be admired or noticed for something that you're doing? Do you desire to be recognized or appreciated? Do you boast about your abilities and successes? Do you desire to achieve a certain status? Do your friends or family ever call you selfish? Are you always pursuing some self-advancement in your life? Are you overly concerned with how you look? Do you ever try to appear better than you really are? Do you seek the approval of other people? Are you concerned about what others think of you? Do you compare yourself to others? Do you often find yourself preaching to people, but when it comes to dealing with your own issues, you don't like talking about those? Have you ever been told that you're unteachable? Some people are laughing. Do you think you know it all? Or that you probably don't need to learn that thing in life? Do you prefer things are always done a certain way? Are you unwilling to risk getting close to other people? Do you find yourself covering up your sins? You really don't want to see them revealed or found out? Are you often unwilling to admit when you're wrong? Do you rarely ask for forgiveness? Do you make excuses and justify your sin instead of just admitting it? Are you good at criticizing and finding faults in others? Do you look through the bulletin to find the spelling mistakes? They always stand out the easiest, it seems. Are you quick to blame others? Do you have feelings of bitterness, anger, or is there a lack of forgiveness in your life? Do you ever feel ripped off or hurt when you're overlooked? Are you frequently defending yourself? Is there an unwillingness to ask for help? Think you got it all under control, and I'll do it on my own. I'm fine. Are you unable to celebrate when others succeed? Somebody gets a promotion. That's pretty hard to celebrate sometimes. Are you jealous of others' successes and talents? Maybe you're consumed with materialism, and it's you got to have stuff to feel good. Do you ever lie so you'll look good? Do you have a need to be right? Or are you ever embarrassed by other people, by your family, by your friends? Perhaps some of these might be places where there might be pride in your life, and I'm sure there's many more, and I don't have to point them all out. But I'm sure that many of these reflect my life at certain times in certain ways, maybe some of them all the time. Probably one of the quickest ways you can find out where the pride is to find somebody really close to you, like your wife, or your spouse, or your mate, or your mom, or your dad, your brother, or your sister. It seems like they're really good at pointing out the pride in your life. My wife is so good at doing that, and she doesn't even try. But she seems to just know how to reveal, and it's not in a cocky way, but she doesn't have to say anything. It's just that I know by that look that I get, sometimes the eye look, sometimes the other look, sometimes the hurt look, sometimes. And when I see my wife and I see how I've hurt her, or I see her disapproval of what I do, really shows me pretty darn quick where I'm most prideful. So if you're wondering where that really is, if you don't really know, but you probably do, look around, ask somebody close to you, where do you think I'm pretty full of myself? And people will have a lot of fun sharing that with you. And if you're not sure, come ask me and I'll have a lot of fun sharing that with you if I can. It's a lot of fun. But is it? But Nicole is great at revealing my insecurities, my selfishness, my stubbornness, and my pridefulness. And I'm really grateful to have somebody that's willing to go there with me and love me all the way through it, but yet love me enough, just like Jesus does, to not let me keep in that place. And that's a good thing. So the only real remedy to overcoming this disease of pride, which will destroy us, it will destroy what God wants for us, it will destroy our relationship with God, the answer is to be humble and to come with humility. And just as pride says, I'll be God and God, you can be the servant, humility changes that around and it says, God, you are God and I am your servant. Or you could word it another way, God, you are the potter and I am the clay. And that's really where I want to be at. Jeremiah 18:1-6 explains the potter and the clay a bit. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, that's us, can I not do with you as a potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. It's funny to think that though God illustrates himself as the potter and us as the clay, that we would try and turn that around. So there is me as little clumpy sitting on the wheel yelling up at God saying, hey buddy, this is what you're going to do to me. This is how you're going to do it. And this is the way it works. And God kind of looks down at me, little clumpy. Maybe I don't even have eyes. Maybe I'm just a ball. And he says, that's not how it works. That's not what you are. That's not who you are, and that's not what you're created to do. So why would us, in all of our pride, think that we would have that role, or that we would know better as a little ball of clay? It's a real distorted thing, and that's really pride. But when we humble ourselves, it's more or less saying, God, I am who you have made me to be. A ball of clay. And God, you have every right to do whatever you want with me because you made me. And whatever you want is what I want. And when we humble ourselves, it's more than just the posture, though I think that's a great thing to do, whether we bow or we, whatever posture we can take in a physical way, but it's more than just that. In its purest expression, humility is non-resistance to God. Means that as a lump of clay sitting on the wheel, I'm not fighting to get off, I'm not fighting to not be what he wants me to be, but I'm absolutely comfortable and set and to just more or less jump on that wheel. And that wheel sometimes spins pretty fast, but I'm just going to stay there and allow him to make me what he wants me to be. True humility is total surrender and a readiness for God to use you in any capacity, anywhere, anytime, and anyhow. And only as we come humbly before God, realizing our rightful place as that piece of clay, only when we can come to God and just say, Lord, you are the potter, I am the clay, can that pride be removed. And that's when we receive what God wants to give us, is we receive grace. And God says that, and James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Such a good scripture. So humility is that clear pathway to experiencing grace, to experiencing God and his love If you will not humble yourself, recognize your perspective and your place is a low place, you will miss out on that grace that God wants to give you because you think that you are God and you are better. And that's really distorted, but it's so easy for us to get there. Here's a question. What humbles you in your life? What humbles you? Maybe there's been some experiences that have been humiliating. And God sometimes actually does that too. He sometimes brings humiliation in our lives to bring us to that place of humility. Whatever it is, whether you're humbled or humiliated, think about that. What is it in life that brings you to a low place where you don't have to know it all, where you don't have to be it all, where you don't have to fully take control of your life, where you don't have all the answers? For me, when I'm humble, it brings me into perspective. It brings life into perspective. And some things that really humble me, just thinking about it, creation. When I think about all that God has created, man, that humbles me. And I think even the greatest thing that I can make, which is not in the kitchen, but the greatest thing that I can make, whether, I don't know what it would be, a song or something like that, or a picture, or maybe some kind of thing that we can construct, or a building, none of that compares in any way to what God has made here on earth. From a bird to, everybody knows I love fish and aquatics and how God creates a coral and how it reaches out to the sun. That just humbles me. And how all of this stuff on earth works together and we still don't understand how it all works together. Isaiah 66 says, "Has not my hand made all things and so they came into being?" Another humbling thing is death. That is humbling. And to know that I'm not immune to that, and in time I will face it. And to know that I'm so frail. And it's just so humbling to know that. Time is humbling to know that that's out of my control. But I just want to lay that before God and say, "Lord, whatever you want with time, I give you that." My wife humbles me. Makes me want to be a better man. Makes me desire to do what God wants me to do. Children are humbling. I don't know that yet, but I know I'm going to learn very quick. Matthew 18 says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me.'" And children are humbling. And even just what you got to do to kind of connect with a kid, and you kind of got to get down and say, "Hey, little buddy," or whatever you say. And sometimes kids say the darndest things. Sometimes they humble you by what they hear and by what they know, by what they see. All those things are really humbling. And there's many more. I'm sure you have many humbling situations and thoughts. But for me, the greatest humility I find is in Christ. And that's where I love to be. There's an illustration from our series, Dream to Destiny, that Robert Morris talks about. And he said there was a king that lived in a castle. And he ruled over the nation. And one day, he looked out and he saw you. Just a peasant orphan playing in the streets. That's what you knew. The king came to you, but you were unaware that he was the king because he came dressed, looking just like you. Another peasant in the streets. And during the time the king kept visiting you, the king continued to love you and build that relationship with you. And then one day the king invited you home to live with him in his castle. But at that time you were unaware until you got to the castle and you realized what's going on. And he told you that he's the king. And just like that story, that's what Christ has done for us. And it really humbles me when I think about that. And I think, yeah, you know, where I've come from and what I have now is not anything that I've earned. It's nothing that I've done. But God, I am just like that kid on the street, a peasant kid, but God, you've loved me and brought me here. And so I never want to forget that place where I've been. And at the same time, know that it's not because of anything I've done. It's not of works that I can boast about any of this. And God, that humbles me to know that really it's not about anything I can do or anything I've done. And it really humbles me when I think about just how much I need God in my life. You are the vine, I am the branch, he says. And apart from me, you can't do anything. And I love that place where I'm humbled and I just allow myself to be just another vine growing off the branch and allow him to just use me however he wants, just like the potter on the wheel. And humility is really when you put yourself into perspective with God. God, me. He is huge. Bigger than I can comprehend, is so mysterious, yet we understand a little bit, but not a lot. He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's all righteous, all loving. He sees everything. He's mighty. He's awesome. We use all these words to describe him, and even those words I don't think are good enough to describe what he is and how huge he is. And then the perspective that I want to have of God, I always want to have to be that. And then look at us. Here's amazing, incredible God versus temporary human me, weak, powerless, and very humbled. It's when we get that perspective mixed up, we think that God works for us, that he's here to serve me and meet my needs, and what I want is what I get. It's when we twist our thinking and we think that I'll be God and he can be my servant. That's where the pride creeps in. But when we keep that simple attitude of, Lord, you're the potter, I'm the clay. Whatever you want from me is all right with me. And I realize that you've made me and I really don't know what's best. God, you know. In all of my thinking and in all that I can comprehend, it's not a lot compared to what you know and what you understand. I'm just going to... Have you ever watched... We were watching on Thursday night a bit of those graphic Discovery Channel shows where animals like to... It's kind of the survival of the fittest where they like to eat each other and, you know, somebody always loses. And they're not always the prettiest shows, especially if you're like me and you pass out easy from blood. But I was thinking of a little illustration, and because I like fish again, we were in a pet store in Saskatoon, and we walked by the piranha tank, and it was full of piranhas, and these were pretty good-sized piranhas. And I'm like, hey, look at those piranhas, those are cool. And we looked in, and we saw one little guppy. Little guppy. And little guppy was missing his fin, and he was swimming kind of in a circle, and little guppy was all alone, and it was only a matter of time before little guppy was no more. And we had a lot of fun watching little guppy, and he was shaking, and you could see he's a little stressed, because he's in a tank full of piranhas, and I think the rest of his family was eaten, and we placed bets, but little guppy, we knew, was not going to make it much further. Not that God is the piranha in our lives, but oftentimes we face God thinking that we are big in something, but really we're little guppies, or we're just so small. And why do we think that we can compare with what he has? And God just says, he opposes the proud. When we're so full of ourselves and we think we know what's best and it's all about me, God simply opposes that. But he gives grace to the humble. I would have wished that God would have been more gracious to little Guppy, but I'm grateful that he's even more gracious to us. Just in closing, I just want to share some scripture here. And just our greatest example is obviously Christ in his humility. And he modeled that so well. And it's his desire that we would do the same thing. And in Philippians 2, 1, it says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want to remain in that place where I don't consider myself equal with God. We're not working on the same playing field. But rather that I'm humble. I know that I'm a servant under my master. And so I'm going to be willing to humble myself before God, however that means, and allow him to work in my life. And humility is not always comfortable, but man, I love being there. Where it's naked, it's revealing, it's awkward, but yet it's the most comfortable place to be, because it's a place of just trusting that God is huge and awesome and big and able and capable to carry little, infinite, wussy me. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to reflect just a little bit about that. Maybe something's triggered your mind and your heart. Maybe just to reflect on, God, am I robbing you of your glory and taking what is rightfully yours? And God, do I need to humble myself and allow you to be God and understand that you are God, I'm not? And that's the place you've given me. And then to trust you, God, in faith to believe that, God, you're good. You're a great God.
That's one thing God really does amaze me. And humility is to receive his grace. Say, yeah, God, I need your grace. I'm tired of fighting and in my insecurity, living for myself and controlling my life. And so many ways we do that. I like how there was one quote in there that says something, I'm forgetting now, but it was more or less, to compare yourself to something greater, and that's Christ, really shows you where your place is, and that is a humble place. And the more I look at God, the more I'm so humbled, the more I'm so in awe of His grace and His power. And I just want to continue to remember that and live in that humble state. I find it so freeing. Micah 6 says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Perhaps you have been prideful and struggle with that the same way I really do. And this morning is hopefully just an encouragement to find a lower place, to find the right perspective that God, you are God and I'm not. You are the potter, I am the clay, and whatever you want is what I want. Let's just stand together. I'm just going to close with a prayer, and we're going to just pray a prayer of repentance for how we have so often robbed God of His glory and taken it for our own, and how we really need to remember to be a humble people, to allow God to work through us in every day and in every moment and in every circumstance, to be humble towards our family and our friends, to be humble as His people. Let's pray. God, thank you for the way that, God, you are awesome and huge and amazing. And God, you've shown yourself to be that in my life, and you've shown yourself in our lives to be that. God, forgive us for, yeah, how we've robbed you of your glory. And God, you don't want to share your throne. And so, God, you will knock us off our high horse and humble us, even sometimes humiliate us, so that, God, we will come to the place of humility ourselves. God, allow us, God, just to remain humble. God, to not control our life, to not put you in the back seat, but God, to allow you to be the potter and for us to be the clay. Remind us, God, when yeah, we want to control life and make it work for us, and when we think that, God, you are the servant, and it's your responsibility to give us what we think is right. But God, you are God and we're not. So God, forgive us for our pride, for our arrogance, for our conceitedness, for even sometimes how we approach you so flippantly. And God, how we often lack that humility and that humbleness to just come and sit on that wheel and allow you to mold us into what you want us to be. God, we desire to know you. We desire to discover you. And we pray that, God, you'd show us your heart for us. And that, God, we would just continue to be amazed by your grace. God, thanks that you do oppose the proud. And God, you do give us grace. And Lord, we just love you today. We pray that, God, you continue to take us on this journey of knowing you and living our lives not for ourselves in pride and in sin, but God, living our heart and our life after you. So Jesus, help us and be our potter, be our king, be our Lord, and keep us humble, Lord, we pray. Amen. God bless you. If that is maybe been something that you're struggling with or would like prayer for, maybe there's anything you'd like prayer for, we'd welcome you to come up front this morning. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Thanks so much. God bless.